Listen for the word of God. Now the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after being grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of both water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know. We testify to you what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Noah has ascended into heaven, except those who were descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The gospel, the good news of God.
Thanks be to God.
You guys get to sit down, don't you? Good. Well, geez, pressure. Hey. The church has left the building. Have you heard about this program? In Truckee, they do that? No, church has left the building. It's a thing. It is. They did it down in Carson City for about 3 years. What it is, now someone here, I gave a cue to a guy to listen to this part of the sermon here. Well, you listen to all of it, but this part especially. But that on one Sunday a year, the church has left the building. A bunch of churches in town on the same day, the same Sunday, instead of doing, you know, the preaching and the teaching and the singing and all the other good singing, they cancel service, worship service, and do service in the community. They meet and they have one big, huge, big outdoor prayer kickoff, and then one group goes off and repair houses for the elderly and the poor. Another group went out and they packed 1,000 meals ready to go for people that are in disasters in the United States and around the world. Packed thousands of them in boxes so they're ready to be shipped out for the next disaster. Another went and cleaned up the park. Another went for one project after another project of service. And that's what they did Sunday morning. That was their service. The church has left the building. They went out of the building and did mission in the community. Now, the treasurer here, maybe a couple of others you have found, have figured out why this program doesn't last very long and why Carson only did it for three Sundays before they moved it to a Saturday. What is it?
No offering.
Thank you. It's a financial secretary perhaps there? Yes. No offering. Ow! You know, lose a whole Sunday of offering. If you're a big church, that's a big deal. Small church, that's still a big deal. To take out 152 of your income, yow, that is huge. And but the offering that day was not to the church building and its program and its people and its mission. But that day, the offering was sacrificial, was given back to the community. The church has left the building. A huge, huge impression on the community and on me. Wow, they're going to really do that? That's really something. And it was a little bit too hard for them to do. And part, they moved it, to be fair, they moved it to Saturday because they couldn't get too many churches to say yes. They got a lot more churches to say yes on Saturday than they said, whoa, Sunday, hold on there. You've gone from preaching to meddling there. I don't know. So they quit doing that. But I want you to remember about how the church has left the building and the worship service as opposed to service. Now, I have great titles for sermon. I've been told by other people it's just not me saying it, although it's mostly me. But I never explain them. So let's see if I can hit the sermon title so you all have something to take home and say that's what he meant. Pointers, retrievers, and guides are three kinds of dogs, right? You know this. Maybe we're talking about puppies. That's always fun, puppies. Pointers are things, but I'm talking more about people and churches and even retail stores. I used to work at Best Buy on the Geek Squad. That was fun. I showed up those young kids. That was great times. And what I learned there is about different types of stores. Now I'm at Computer Corps. And Computer Corps is a bunch of volunteers. It's not a bunch of people up and go ready to be the best retail in the world like Best Buy. But at Computer Corps, there's a lot of pointers. And you've done pointers in retail. You've seen these people. You know, you go up and ask for help. Where is something? You get a point. It's over there. Hey, it's over that way. Oh, yeah, it's over there. You get a pointer. That's not really help, because what happens? You're suddenly a human pinball. You know that. Remember those pinball games? You get a point, you get closer, and then you go, where the heck is it? And you ask someone else, and they point you, and then you go over here, and it's like you're hitting bumpers trying to get to the goal. Pointers are people that say, oh yeah, what you need, what you want, what you are is way over there somewhere. Go there. And you know, the thing about pointing is that, well, first of all, I got to watch your finger, but the thing about pointing is it doesn't say how far. You just get a direction. I was going to get some kind of project going, like this is really far, all the fingers, and then, you know, like that's kind of far. You know, and we're trying to get that going. I don't know. But pointing has a lot of limitations. You say, you know, you just tell the people, you know, it's not bad, it's not awful, it's helpful. And some churches are pointers. Aren't they? Salvation's over there. Yeah, salvation's over at Jesus. This is the way to do salvation. This is the way to get right with God. This, and you know, some other ones are pointing out that's not the way. Don't be doing that. That's wrong. Over there is evil. Over there is good. Do this, do that. Pointing. And then there's a couple, now and then you'll hit retrievers. Now, every now and then I get this at Best Buy. I don't like retrievers. I think I prefer the pointers over the retrievers. And you know these people, like you say, hey, do you have any more hard drives? And they go, let me check. Zoom! And they're gone. And you're there, should I follow or what's going on? I'm abandoned now. Are they coming back? You know? And then sometimes they'll bring some back. Here, is this it? And you go, no, I wanted some. And boom, they're gone again. And you know, some people are like that and some churches are like that. They retrieve salvation for you. And we don't like that. I'm going to say, I don't like that. I'll just straight out say that. I'm thinking you don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. You know the retrievers. You know how they... Can I talk to you about Jesus? They're knocking at your door. They want you. They brought you Jesus. They're right to your door. It doesn't matter what you're doing. They want to know about that. Oh, I was so mean to those people. I used to try it when they came, you know, with their stuff. I tried to sell them the church newsletter, you know, for a contribution. Yeah, that was not charitable on my part. They got little marks on my sidewalk. Retrievers, you know, they try to give it to you and say, this is what you need right here. Boom, here you are. You wanted something, boom, I got a package for you right here. Here you are. Knock, knock, knock. What are you doing? Don't matter. This will fit you. This is what you need. Some churches are like that. They'll go out there and they'll tell people what they need and say, here you are, you do it, take it. This is what you go. This is the program. This is the five spiritual laws. This is that. This is this. Here you are, going to do that. That don't work so well. The last type of a dog and last type of Christian and people I want to talk about today is about guide. You know, there's guide dogs. Now, guide dogs are different than pointers. They do help you find your way. Guide dogs are different than retrievers. They help you get where you're going and get your goal, but guide dogs go with you. They go with you on your journey. Let's go together. Where are you going? I can help you get there. I had a friend, still have a friend. He's a pastor up in Cleveland area. And for years, he had a guide dog. The first one was Meg when we were in high school. And he got Meg, and suddenly I was demoted from guide to follow along, don't bother the dog's working. You know, that's right. And I wasn't too trusting of the dog, you know, because, you know, I got Pat where he wanted when we were out. And so we're there, we're walking, working along, and I'm judging. All right, I'm judging the dog. Yeah, I am. You know, that I would have done that or I would have done that. All of a sudden, I'm following along, watching, you know, where is he going and all this. And the dog takes Pat, whoom, over to the side. Out into the street and boom, back in. And I'm saying, why did he take him off the boom? And a branch hit me in my head. And the dog saw the branch. I didn't see the branch. We all can use a guide. I think I could have used a guide dog that night. It at least keep me away from hitting that branch. And some Christians are like that. You know, the best Christians are like that, I think, in that they're a guide. They say, where are you going? What's your struggle? Where you're at? What's your journey? Let me go along with you. I know where the branches are hanging down. I know where some of the cracks are in the sidewalk. I know where some of the dangers and pitfalls are. I can help you get there. I can help you get to your destination. Guides. Does this preacher ever get to the scripture? Jeez! Yeah, this whole baptism reborn thing, he hasn't said a word about it yet. I know. I get that a lot. We're only doing 16 and 17 today. So back off. It's not all about the baptism and the reborn and all that stuff and born again and born from above and enough and all that stuff. That's another good sermon. But we're doing 16 and 17 today. Just two verses. The first one is John 3:16. Oh, we love that verse. You know, the guy used to go to the football game, John 3:16. People put it up on the road. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What's that? That's a point. Salvation's over there. Jesus Christ has salvation. And if you're pointing with John 3:16, you're pointing. It's a good thing to point to Jesus. There's a lot of bad things you can point to. But you're pointing to Jesus. You say, over there, that's salvation. And we've done that so much as a church. Salvation isn't in Jesus Christ. Can't you see it? Go over there. It's right there. Everybody see. Everybody look. I got a bigger cross. I got a lighter cross. I got a big old statue of Jesus. I'm pointing you the way. Can't you see? Go that way. Can I cheer at a football game? Go, like we're a bunch of fans. Go to Jesus. You know, but the thing about the Bible is there's more than one verse. And that always trips us up. Because we don't like reading more than one verse. One verse is good. Two verses, not so good. I met somebody and she told me her favorite verse was John 3:17. I go, oh, do you mean John 3:16? Because I'm a man and I explain everything. And I know everything. And she said, no, John 3:17, because she's a woman and she's right and I should learn that. But 3:17 is that God sent. Whoa, hold on there. Back up now. We had a God gave in John 3:16. Gave is much better. I'm liking the gave. I'm liking the gift. What's this sent stuff? The sent stuff begins to smell like mission. We can't have any of that. We want a gift. We don't want a job. That's not good. But we go on. It gets worse. God sent his only son. Oh, okay, all right, I can do the sent. Me and mine. We're going to be saved. I'm going to be saved. You're going to be saved. Everybody I like going to be saved. God sent to the world. Hold on there. The world? Have you looked at the world recently, God? It's not a good place. There's a lot of chaos in there. You know, when Jesus said this, when John wrote this, the world was worse. By any meaningful measure, the world was worse than it is now. And still God said, that's my job. That's what I'm doing. That's what I sent Jesus to the world. You mean not for the good, upright, following people and church? No, the world. And not just sin to the world, but not to condemn the world. Not to condemn the world. There goes half my sermon. You know, most of the presidential debates, just about all of the election ads, you can't condemn. But the world through him might be saved. We got to save the world.
Have you looked at the world? I have enough trouble getting me right. I have enough trouble getting other people I love right. You mean we got to get the whole world right with God? That's what Jesus came for? Oh, if we could have just stopped at John 3:16, it would have been so much easier. But there's that 17. God sending to save the world. Not just me and mine, but the whole world. I guess we're supposed to be guiding, not just pointing, not just delivering, but guiding. We have to take everybody with us. Everybody's got to go. If those of you are tweeting out there, live tweeting the sermon, excellent. Anybody tweeting, this is the tweet today. Salvation is like potato chips. You can't stop with one. You can't stop with one. Because John 3:17 says our job's not done until the whole world's getting across that finish line. Because God sent His Son to the whole world. Now we good people, may say, oh man, that's bad news. That's a lot of job. But that is good news. That is such good news for the life of our church and the world. Because you know what? You know those young people you just love to have? Just where are them young families? Those young people that need to come to church, that should be at church, that should be there, and we brought them a cake and all this stuff, you know, and we had the coffee and all these things that they say would attract the young people. We're delivering them stuff. Bad news. They don't need to be saved. You just ask them. They'll tell you. They're perfectly fine. I raised two of them, lived with them, watched them grow up, and I know they don't need to be saved. Just ask them. They're perfectly fine. Me, a little messed up. But them, they're good. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. You see, people a little bit older than me and me, you know, we still had that whole World War thing going on. You know, when the great evil came against us and Nazism and all the fascists, and we all made the institution and we bound together and bought our bonds and the great institution, the military industrial complex got together and we crushed and beat those evil people and made the world safer, democracy and God. And later on we fought the evil empire, the godless communists. We put God in the presence of the Egyptians, and we won over the communists because we were together under God. And now, you know, who are we fighting? Ourselves, mostly. Who are we trusting? Don't trust institutions. Not if you're under 40. You don't trust institutions. And the great spiritual industrial complex that the Presbyterian Church USA, yeah, we don't trust them anymore. We don't buy their hymn books. We don't take their Sunday school curriculum. We don't do anything like that. Salvation's not there. Can't point with the denominations or any kind of group. So what are we to do? What are we to do? We're going to do what John 3:17 says. It says God's here to save the world. Because I tell you, they won't take in any pointing. They don't want to accept our little gifts of Bibles or whatever we're giving out, or artisanal coffee served at after church, which I hope we don't do. I didn't know. So they're not taking any of those gifts. But you know what they are? They're ready to save the world. They're ready. And they've been doing it on their own. I'm thinking there's going to be a time when everybody under 25 is going to have their own nonprofit corporation saving the world. Every time you turn around, they're making some kind of group to save the world and fix that and Kickstarter campaigns and moving on petitions and all this stuff. They want to save the world. They don't know how. They don't know what they're doing. We could give them some help there. Because we know the Savior of the world. He's a friend of ours. And we can introduce them and to go along with them on the salvation of the world. Some of you might be familiar with the Serenity Prayer. It's very popular in 12-step group. God give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. The wisdom, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But the prayer goes on. When Niebuhr wrote it, he wrote more than that. That was just the first line. One of the lines he wrote was, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Wow. I think if Niebuhr looked at John 3:17 a little bit more, maybe have written, loving as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. That brings me up short just about every day. Hey, I'm called to love. I'm called to be sent into this world as it is, not as I would have it. I spend a whole lot of energy trying to get the world as I would have it instead of how it is. If we want to make the church relevant in the coming generations, we've got to look more to John 3:17 than John 3:16. Because our folks don't need to be saved. That may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but remember, we take the world as it is, not as we would have it. And the world as it is, they don't think they need to be saved. But they're ready to save the world. And maybe that was what Jesus wants. It says right there, that's his mission, to save the world, to get everybody on board, to get everybody into a better place. And you know what? If we preach that, if we lived that, if we did that, we'd have the people here. We'd have the people everywhere. Because all good people want the world to be better. Church has left the building. There's a church in Arlington, Virginia that had its last service just a few weeks ago. They've been in the news for almost a year. And the reason they've been in the news, First Presbyterian Church, Arlington, Virginia, is the way that they had their last service. They, a smaller congregation, they've had some problems like churches over there do and all this, and they went out and they figured out how can we be of service to the community. And they found some things, but what they really found was that people can't afford to live there. Oh yeah, rich people, people with big jobs and can have big houses and they can afford to there. But the teachers, there's no places for them to live. The policemen, the firefighters, they can't be and live there. The people that run the stores, the retail clerks, even those that manage the stores, they can't afford to live in Arlington. They got to take bus rides for hours just to get to work. There's no affordable housing in Arlington, Virginia. Oh, wait, there is. They open up 120 units, and they got applications, 3,600 applications for 120 units. And you know what? It wasn't just the working folk. It wasn't just students. It wasn't just retail. It wasn't just government workers and servants. But the elderly, folks that retired, that had lived there all their lives, that was their home, were being priced out of living them, that they could not stay in their own community with their own friends and their own support because the property was just skyrocketing. There was no affordable place to live. So the church, and they had a difficult time doing it, but they persevered. They decided that they would take their big, historic, huge sanctuary that just had a little bitty amount of people in it and raise it to the ground. And they would take all their land, their beautiful campus, and they would build moderate income housing in it. And they would reserve some of it for veterans, and they reserve some of it for the elderly. And they would make it all moderately priced housing. And they partnered with a nonprofit that had done moderately priced housing in the community. And they sold it, and they gave them a little bit of a discount, 20% over the skyrocketing land values in Arlington, Virginia, so that the nonprofit could do this project for them. And they had their last service Sunday. Or did they? Because that church will continue to serve the community. The church has left the building.
They were blessed, and now they're a blessing. Amen.